Follow Mooney Goes Wild on Twitter
at NatureRTE.
Now, you may remember the special programme we did last year on the Bergen whale, the Cuvier's beaked whale, which stranded close to the city of Bergen on the southwestern coast of Norway. Post-mortem found that at least 30 plastic bags were in its gut, focusing minds around the world on the immense problem of marine litter. Well, Rowan Byrne, featured in that programme, he's principal marine scientist and plastics leader for the global engineering consultants Mott MacDonald.
Currently, there's 5 trillion pieces of plastics afloat in the ocean, from the deep water zones to the surface waters, to offshore islands, to inshore islands, to our own beaches in Ireland and the beaches across the globe. This plastic pollution problem is so important to get your head around, because basically at this point in time in certain areas of the world, there's more plastic in the sea than there is fish. There has to be a way to deal with this, and this is why I'm very keen on looking at solutions and innovation ways to deal with this.
As we all know, there have been far too many other similar incidents of marine animals dying as a direct result of plastic in our oceans. And it's in this spirit that Rowan has been looking at this global issue and bringing it back home. He has just helped to install a sea bin in Howth Harbour, which will help to keep the area clear of plastic rubbish, plastic which would otherwise be washed out to sea. Richard Collins met with Rowan at the launch of the sea bin.
Rowan, congratulations on installing a sea bin in Howth. Now, you'll have to explain to us what exactly a sea bin is.
Well, Richard, it's very much a modified bin that sits in the sea, to be fair. It's basically a normal 5 to 10 to 15 litre bin, depending on the size, that has a pump at the base of it. The idea being that it just creates enough suction. It rests just below the surface of the sea, where it's quite flat in harbours and marinas, and it draws in everything there just by the suction it causes. It's a great inventive, simple tool invented by two charismatic Australian inventors, who actually surfers, who decided one day they were told to clean the pool at home, and they said, what way can we do this and go surfing? So they invented a little pool pump on a bin, and they went surfing and they cleaned their parents' pool, and it's taken it from there.
Now, looking at it down below, it's kind of an artificial whirlpool in a sense. It's like a normal bin, but it kind of, you would envisage a bin in the water, but about an inch or two under the surface,
yes,
and the water pouring like a waterfall into it, and that's being sucked down by the pump down at the bottom.
Absolutely.
Which is driving the thing down. And then, of course, you have a filter thing that traps everything that falls into it, sort of thing.
Absolutely. There's a number of benefits to a sea bin, and as you described, Richard, it has a pad to start already in the inside, that any hydrocarbon, diesel or oil residue that's on the surface, obviously because its density is lighter than water, it floats on the surface, will be drawn into it, and it adheses to the pad. So already you're clearing the water, you're cleaning the water, you're getting better water quality by removing any residue, diesel or anything like that. It also will obviously, as I said, take the core plastic elements floating just under the surface and on the surface. But the best part about it is, because it's a pump, it oxygenates the water, it increases more oxygen into the water, and it actually creates a better water quality. So what you'll find is that there's a number of measures here. Better water quality means happier fish and better biodiversity. Better water quality means a more healthy environment, reduced plastics in the environment. The other side of that is you get to identify what type of plastics and their polymers are actually floating in the harbour, and then you could have a look at moving forward. Let's have a plan. Let's ban these single-use plastics. Let's ban the bottle tops. Whatever it is, we can move forward and then find a way to deal with that so it doesn't actually enter into the sea. But I think the number one point is to make sure that we stop the plastic tap. We don't let these plastic components, polymers, types, single use, move their way through the water systems and into the sea. So that's the most important thing for us. If we can make sea bins and the technology like this redundant, that's the best way.
Well, now it's floating. It's, of course, the Howth is very tidal. It goes up and down at a great rate. Now, so you have to set it where there's a tidal fluctuation, but it goes with the tide. It sinks and rises, does it?
Absolutely. It's based on a pontoon. It's ideally situated on a pontoon that moves with the ebb and flow of the tide, for exactly that reason. When it goes up, it actually moves with the tide. When it goes down, it's actually down with the tide. But that's where all the plastic, all the flotilla of plastic material lies, and that's where it gets it. So, it moves with the natural systems. It works with the natural systems, and it makes them better.
And you have to drive it with electricity. You have to get a feed of electricity out to it some way, which might be difficult in some places. Though here, I think it's fairly straightforward.
It is. We have a pontoon, which obviously already has lights and electricity based to it. But it runs, the cost of running is about the average Christmas lights over December. It's very, very small, uses low voltage. It's designed that way. But the idea is, you might find some difficult electricity to it. I think moving forward, there'll be more solar powered versions to make life a little bit easier. Mm. And there's more evolution in the works in that regard, which would make sense. Well, we have it on traffic lights, we have it on the speed cameras and things like that as well. So it seems like the next logical step.
Now, the practicalities, you have to have somebody who'll come along every day, I suppose, or every few days, depending on how much debris is going in. So he goes in and he takes out the filter or something like this.
Well, it's literally just the net. You just lift the net out of it. I should have said at the start, sorry, the bin in the middle has a net and has a metal loop on it. You just lift it up, out comes the net, and then you just empty the net and you put it back in. Now, depending on how much plastic's in the sea or how much debris in the bin, you'll probably get away with it once a day. Harry McLaughlin, the Harbour Master, and his team here have a number of initiatives to reduce plastic in the marine environment anyway. They would probably, you'd find moving forward, they might not empty too often, which is great.
How much did this bin cost?
Richard, it the average cost of a sea bin in the UK is about £2,500. Here, converting it to euro with insulation costs, it costs us about €4,400. My apologies. We crowdfunded this money myself through crowdfunding and also through my employers, Mott MacDonald's. They put their hands in their pockets. They're very supportive of innovative technologies that enhance the environment. But I have to say, kudos to the local community. I harassed a lot of my friends. The Hoth Tidy Towns, Visit Hoth, Ballinascadden Group, Sutton Dinghy Club, Kilbarrick Sailing Club, they all got in touch. They all wanted to be part of it. And it's a very much a community-led initiative. It's definitely just not me, far from it. I just had the idea. But most importantly, there's one person I have to thank, and that's the Harbour Master, Harry McLaughlin. He paid for the installation through the Irish government of the electricity and everything referred to earlier. That cost a few quid, but Harry was on board from day one, and it was just cumulatively it seems like a lot of money, but when you work it out, the longevity and the lifetime of this machine and the running cost being so low, it's great value for money.
There is one of these bins in Dunleary for some time, I believe, and there may be several others in Ireland. There's one in Bangor, I know. How has the Dunleary one worked? Is it a success?
As far as I know, it's working well. The other ones around the country, there's one in Dingle as well. There's another one in Bangor. You'll find on the Sea Bin website, they have a calculation of all the different types of plastics and the weight that they get. And all indications show that they're working well, doing a great job, and doing exactly what they need to do, keep plastic out of the sea.
Now, globally, are there bins everywhere or just in Europe and in a few highly developed countries?
Globally, I think there's shy of 800 around the world. I know that the inventors were over in Tesla and Facebook in the west coast of the States a couple of weeks ago. There's lots in the Europe, but about, I think, 720, 750, something like that, but it's growing, and why not? I mean, they won't save the world from plastic in the sea, but what they'll do is they're a very good solution in order to help keep plastic out of the sea, because we need a flotilla, we need a flotilla or a portfolio of solutions to really deal with this. But the best thing we should do is just not let it get into the sea in the first place.
Well, of course, it's one of a number of initiatives. The Claverhead fishermen, for instance, won an award for taking plastic out of the sea. The trawlermen are removing plastic and keeping it, rather than throwing it back as they used to do long ago, they are keeping it and bringing it ashore. Now, there's possibilities opening up. Where are we going to go next? There's something, System 001, I've heard of, which tows a large screen behind a boat or something and puts it out. Yeah. Explain that to me.
Even the big ocean cleanup, what they're trying to do as well. There's a number of novel ideas at the moment. The sea bin has been around for a number of years. It's evolving. Different generations are evolving in response to the environment and the feedback they get. You'll also find there's a thing called the Trash Shark, which goes around, is remotely operated by someone on the quayside, and it runs around the harbour and it targets this plastic that's in the sea. You'll also find that there's solar-powered boats that go up and down the river, like the old wheel from the Mark Twain rotary wheels on the Mississippi, that sort of thing, that collect the plastic, and they have conveyor belts on them. There's a number of innovations, and that's the one thing I really want people to try and get to grips with and help us with. Develop these innovations, develop this technology, and see can we make it better. But you're right, there's a lot of stuff out there. I mean, as I said, the sea bin won't save the world. It's the portfolio of these technologies that's out there. But I guess the number one thing, without even using technology, is just don't put it there in the first place.
Of course, that's the truth of it. But this sea bin is going to be very effective in harbours and yachting places and marinas and places like that. It should keep those clean. And there are you're a roan, and a roan, of course, is the name of a seal.
Quite correct, yes.
Very appropriate for a marine biologist.
Yes, absolutely.
And we have a fine group of seals here in Howth Harbour, and they will benefit enormously because they won't be choking on debris once this thing really gets underway.
Absolutely, and I'm sure your listeners will have seen many images of marine wildlife, particularly marine mammals, who've had sort of debris, entanglement in fishing nets. I mean, you'll find it's been ingested by marine mammals. So today, when we cleared the net out just as a demonstrator, we found fibres of rope. Now, these ropes, well, you know, you could call them macro, depending on the size of the rope, but generally they turn into micro and nano fibres, which are then ingested by fish. Recent research has shown that tyre particulates from skid marks on roads worked their way into the system and worked their way into the riverine environment with nanoplastics and ingested by seals. They did research on seal poo. And they found small particles of tyre particulates and also micro and nanoplastics in their poo. So there's a direct consequence of what we do on land affects the sea.
Now, you mentioned fish there. I wonder what the fish think of this. Is there any risk to a fish, a precocious fish who is very inquisitive, will go into this thing, or would they? Do you ever get fish in these?
Absolutely. Well, no, you won't get fish in the sea bin, and I'll tell you why. Because it's literally just breaks the surface of the water. So fish are obviously under the water. As far as I know, no fish has ever jumped into it. I nearly lost my phone in one of them. I was in London last year, and I took a picture of it, and I dropped my phone beside it. So maybe technology has it will be more to attend the fish.
Well,
my stupidity.
That's wonderful. So it's a totally benign technology, very simple, relatively simple, you know.
Very much so.
This is a sophisticated device, but it works simply. It's just a pump, a long tube and a filter and somebody to go and take the stuff out of his oven. But it is a very effective technology and you are to be congratulated in promoting it. Now, where is your next season going?
Very good. The honest answer is I'll continue doing what I do, and my driver is to leave the environment in a better position for the young people of the future, and I'll continue enhancing the environment. So I suppose my next one would be more sea bins, maybe. And if anybody out there wants to get involved, just drop us a note, Kara Mooney, whatever it is, and if they have any ideas about putting more in there, let's do it. What are we waiting for? You know, we just need to do it.
Well, Rowan, it's been great talking to you and wonderful to see the sea bin, and I think you can rest assured that you will have improved the environment by your work in this way. Thank you.
Thanks, Richard. Appreciate it.
And for some pictures of that, you can visit the website rte.ie/moon.
Follow us on Facebook, RTE Nature.
Mooney Goes Wild on RTE Radio 1.